Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that Dave read for us a little earlier, Psalm 29, in the Pew Bibles, page 461, Psalm 29. On the 6th of February, about a month ago, at 4 o'clock in the morning, an earthquake struck Turkey. We woke up on that Monday morning. It was a Monday morning, like tomorrow, 6th, and we switched on our televisions or our radios, and we heard about this earthquake. And in the days following, we saw pictures that came from Turkey and from Syria, and we saw buildings that had once been standing and appeared to be strong and immovable, and how these buildings had just collapsed. And we heard stories about people who were trapped in this rubble and people who had died in this disaster. I wonder what your first response was when you heard about this earthquake. I wonder what were the first thoughts that ran into your heart and your mind as you saw these pictures. I wonder what were your first thoughts. The reason I say all this is because I think Psalm 29 was written after an earthquake. And I'm not the only person to think that. A number of the commentators that I consulted have the same view, that an earthquake, rather a large earthquake, had struck parts of Israel during the time of David. And as a result of this, David wrote this psalm. Look at the language, particularly from verse 5. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf. Now just think about that picture. Lebanon is a country. It's this vast area, isn't it? And he says, Lebanon, he makes Lebanon to skip like a calf. And Syrian, now Syrian is the Bible's name for Mount Hermon. And Mount Hermon is in Lebanon. It's in the northern part of Israel. In Deuteronomy, we are told that Syrian is Hermon. So there's this large mountain, this high mountain. And he says, it became like a young wild ox. It was agitated. It was being moved all the time. A young wild ox is restless. And Mount Hermon, he says, became restless. Verse 7, the voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. So there is this language about agitation in the land. And I can see why so many think that an earthquake had occurred in parts of Israel, particularly in the northern parts of Israel where Lebanon and Mount Hermon is. There seems to have been a particularly strong earthquake registering very high on the Richter scale. And it seems that the people of Israel, and we can fully understand this, were very troubled by it. We're troubled when we hear about an earthquake in Turkey, and our hearts go out to the people. We're troubled by this. And the people of Israel, naturally, as news filtered through into Jerusalem, probably took a number of weeks, but news eventually filtered through to Jerusalem that huge earthquakes have taken place there in the north. And people's hearts were troubled. They had friends, they had relatives, they had people who knew there. Well, I wonder what's happened to them. And David, as king, has the duty under God to minister to his people at this time. A troubled people, David has to minister to them. David has to bring comfort, encouragement, and guidance from God at a time like this. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David wrote Psalm 29. And David, in essence, is saying to his people, yes, this disaster has happened, but there are certain things we have to remember. And this morning I want to look at this psalm, and I want to show you three things we should always remember when we hear about a natural disaster like this. You find trouble arising in parts of the world. War in the Ukraine, earthquake in Turkey and Syria, flooding in New Zealand, a famine in Kenya, which has never made the news, and it's the worst famine in 17 years in Kenya, and people are starving, and the news doesn't have it. You hear about this disaster. Or issues happen in our own personal lives. Forget about Syria for the moment and Turkey. Issues that happen in your own life, and you find yourself bewildered because they seem to be so troublesome to you. They seem to bring so many issues, so many difficulties in your life. How do you deal with this? What do you respond? And so David says there are three things we are to do in response to such issues. The first is this: remember, God is in control. Remember, God is in control. An earthquake has struck the land, and the earthquake was so powerful that Lebanon, this country, was skipping like a calf. In other words, it was so strongly agitated, the whole land was moving. Mount Hermon was like a wild ox, restless, shaking. The wilderness, shaking. The wilderness of Kadesh, verse 8, shaking. But David begins the psalm not with the earthquake. Notice how he begins the psalm. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. And look at verse 10 in particular. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. He is speaking to his troubled subjects. And he's saying to them, yes, I know the earthquake has happened. And he's written about that earthquake. But he says, we do not lose sight of God and his sovereignty, God and his control. This is why he doesn't begin with the earthquake, he begins with God. Because this is the problem, isn't it? You wake up on Monday the 6th of February, you switch on your television, actually a few days later because the pictures took time to come through. But you look at all these pictures and the television takes all your attention. And you can only think about what you're looking at. You're looking at buildings that once stood and is now a pile of rubble. You're looking at stones and rocks and people trapped under it. And you're looking at people wailing and people crying and people looking for their loved ones. You're looking at people trying to shift these rocks so that they can get to their loved ones. And this grabs our attention and it fills our hearts and it fills our minds. And we can think about nothing else but the disaster. And David says, yes, the disaster has happened, and we're not denying the severity of this disaster, but he's saying we do not focus on the disaster, we do not allow the disaster only to fill in our hearts and minds. We immediately take a step back from this disaster, and we say, God is in control. So he commands his people, in the wake of this earthquake, in the wake of this natural disaster, he commands his people, give to the Lord, O heavenly beings, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Verse 10, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. God is in control. There are no random events that happen in this universe. There is nothing that happens because of random events, excuse me. Earthquakes are not just, well, they just happen because the earth is like that and there are these plates that move and so on. And flooding doesn't just happen because, well, a tsunami happened. That's just how these things happen. or famine happens because of some meteorological events. Do you notice how he puts this? He says, it is the voice of the Lord over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. He says it is the Lord, in verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Lebanon was known for its cedars. You know this in the Bible, that the cedar trees of Lebanon are spoken of, these majestic, strong trees, and they've all come crashing down because of the earthquake. And he says, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon to skip like a young wild ox. He shakes the wilderness and the wilderness of Kadesh. God is sovereign. Now, this is such a wonderfully comforting thought. Because if I believe that things happen in this world at random, well, I don't know how you could live. You know, if we believe that God isn't in control, the devil is in control, or things just happen because things happen, well, how could you live? You have no idea what's going to happen. But you see what David is saying? He's saying nothing happens like that. God is sovereignly in control of everything. Now, we may not be able to understand the works of God. I mean, I'm sure when the earthquake in Turkey happened, and you had this question, well, why did God allow this? It's a question, isn't it? Christians ask this question, and non-Christians ask this question. Why does God allow famine? Why does God allow earthquakes? Why does God allow these natural disasters? I don't know, and you don't know, and no one knows. God knows. And we're not supposed to know. Do you know there's a verse in the Bible, and it says, the secret things belong to God, and the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. There are secret things that belong to God. There are secret things that belong to you. Your financial affairs are your secret things. Now, you wouldn't like it if I began to pry into your financial affairs. If I began to speculate about your financial affairs, if I began to speak to others about, well, I wonder how much money he's got. I wonder how many bank accounts. And I wonder how much money into each bank account. You wouldn't like that. That's your secret, and quite rightly so. And God has secret things. And Moses says to the people of Israel, the secret things belong to God. And David in this psalm is saying, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. He doesn't say, I'm going to explain to you why this earthquake happened. He doesn't say, let's ask the Lord why this earthquake happened. He says, God is God. And God does what he wills. And we can't understand it. But God is sovereign. Earlier this morning in our prayer meeting, I read some verses from the book of Daniel. And this is what it says. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? God is in control. A second response that David encourages in his people. Firstly, God is in control. Secondly, God is our Father. God is our Father. I must just say, as a little aside, this is a difficult psalm, and the Hebrew is difficult. If you read the commentator, you see straight away that some of the Hebrew phrases are difficult. But it says there in verse 1, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. And actually, the Hebrew phrase is, sons of God. Not quite sure why the translators chose the phrase heavenly beings, because the actual Hebrew is, sons of God. That's the actual phrase in the Hebrew. And I think David is writing this to the people of Israel, and he mentions this. He says to these people, he says, ascribe to the Lord, sons of God, children of God, people of God. Ascribe to the Lord, you who are His people, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due to His name. In other words, as you gather in the temple, as you gather in each other's houses, and you speak about the disaster that has happened in Lebanon, the disaster that's happened in Kadesh, and the earthquakes, as you gather there, remember this, God is your Father. We're not dealing here with some distant, remote deity. We're not dealing here with some God whom we've never heard of, some God who is remote to us. We're dealing here as the children of God. We are dealing with God, our Father. Now, why is this important? Well, it's important because God has made precious promises to us as His children. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. All things, not some things, all things work for the good, work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. You see, God has promises for His people. And God is saying to His people, there will be times in your life when you will be bewildered because there are so many difficulties, there are so many stresses, there are so many issues. Perhaps the issues are there on the international level and you're anxious because of it. You watch the television pictures and you get anxious because of the suffering that goes on. Or perhaps the issues aren't on an international level, the issues are in your own personal life. You have illness, or you have family issues, financial issues. You have all kinds of problems, and these issues, they sort of crowd in upon you. And God says this to us, I am your Father. And I know the plans that I have for you. And those plans are not to harm you, they're to prosper you. And I promise you this, that all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Now, when things happen, we don't always see it straight away. A major disaster happens in our own life. And we can only see the suffering, can only see the pain. We can't see how this issue that has come in my life, how this can possibly work for my good. That's because we don't have all wisdom. We don't have all knowledge. And so we can only see the issue. But God comes in with this promise and says, yes, I know at the moment it looks only disaster. It looks dark. It looks painful. It looks like it's full of anxiety and trouble for you. I can see that. And I can see that your heart is filled with anxiety because of this issue. But please remember this promise. It will work for your good. You may not be able to see how it will work for your good, but it will work for your good. And eventually, because a trail has begun here, a track has begun, and eventually it will lead to somewhere where there will be great blessing for you, where great good will come to you because of what this has happened. God is in control of all these things, and God is our Father. So David writes this psalm to the people of Israel in the wake of a natural disaster. And David says, God hasn't lost control in Lebanon or anywhere else in the universe. And God isn't some remote deity, but God is our Father. And all things will work out for our good because we are His beloved people. I often read out Isaiah chapter 43, these wonderful verses which are a promise to God's people. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God. I am the Lord, that's His sovereignty. Your God, that is His fatherhood. I am the Lord, your God. You are precious in my eyes. and honored, and I love you. You are precious in my eyes, and you are honored, and I love you. God is sovereign, and God is our Father. The third thing to remember from this psalm, remember God is in control, remember God is our Father. Thirdly, remember the power of prayer. Remember the power of prayer. David finishes the psalm with a prayer, verse 11. The last verse is a prayer. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Because he knows the power of prayer. If ever there was a man in the Bible who knew the power of prayer, it was David, which is why so many of his prayers are written in the book of Psalms. We read the book of Psalms. We love the Psalms. Why do we not take David's example? Power is found in prayer. David prayed, I'll read his Psalms and I will pray. So as these disasters happen, whether it's in Turkey or in your own life, and you're bewildered by it, remember the power of prayer. And do you know, I think it's a good exercise, and can I suggest this to you? You watch something on television that really troubles you. Switch it off and pray. Don't keep watching. You're not going to see anything new. They'll only show you another building that's come down, and another building that's come down, and another building. You're not going to see anything new, really. An earthquake, buildings come down. Why not, after a few minutes, switch it off and say to yourself, God is sovereign, God is my Father, I'm going to pray. You'll do far more good in praying than just watching and watching and watching. You'll only get more and more anxious and more depressed. Why not pray? And look at what David does. He prays for his people. May the Lord give strength to his people. He knows his people are bewildered and troubled at this time. And so he prays to the Lord and says, Lord, strengthen your people at this time. We've had this earthquake. Strengthen your people. Well, why not switch off the TV and pray for Christians in the Ukraine? Why not switch off the TV and pray for Christians in Turkey, Christians in Syria, Christians in New Zealand, Christians in Kenya? Because God's people are everywhere. And these natural disasters affect them as much as anybody else. Why not pray that God would strengthen them, that God would come close to them, that God would strengthen their faith, that God would give them opportunities in the midst of all this disaster to speak for him, to live for him, to be a testimony to his power and grace. Why not pray for God's people to be strengthened? Will we not do far more good than being anxious and worried and sleepless at night? Remember the power of prayer. He prays that God would strengthen his people, and then he prays that God would bless his people with peace. Isn't that a lovely prayer? Your people, Lord, are shaken and bewildered because of all that's happened. And I, as their king, am praying for them. Will you bless this people with peace? Why not pray for the Ukrainian Christians that in the midst of all that's happening in their country, they would have peace? What a testimony that is to the unbelievers. The unbelievers see the Russians coming and they look at God's people. They have peace. What a testimony that is. Why not pray for the Christians in New Zealand with all these floods, that they would have peace? Christians in Kenya with famine, that they would have peace. That's a tremendous testimony, isn't it? So pray that God would give strength to his people and God would bless his people with peace. And pray for yourself. You're going through a disastrous time in your Christian life. Well, pray for strength. Pray that God would strengthen you. And pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. How do we respond to disaster? Remember, God is in control. Remember, God is our Father. And remember the power of prayer.